This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, thanks for being here this afternoon. We want to update you on the Ford's Pond project out in Sutherland. Jim and Beth Hausman from Friends of Ford's Pond, thanks for coming back in.
Great to be back.
So let's talk about kind of the project overall. And I want to talk about what's been going on lately, because obviously a lot has. But sort of back up and kind of remind folks from the beginning how all this got started.
Yeah, it started in 2014. We heard the city was going to purchase the Ford's Pond property. And I went to a city council meeting and said, well, I support that if you'll consider a park on that property. And be careful what you ask. Next thing we knew, we started a nonprofit, Friends of Ford's Pond, and worked towards a master plan. And that set us on our way.
Yeah, I finished the master plan in 2017, and then it was really been a fast track for the last 5-6 years to get us to the point where now we're very near the completing the construction out there.
And it's got to be very gratifying to see how far it's come. Now, I'll post some pictures tied in with our podcast, or maybe another post of some of the current work going on. I haven't been out there for 2 or 3 months probably, and it's amazing what is going on there now. Talk about some of the recent things.
Well, sure. In June of this year, the city awarded the contract to JRT Construction out of Oakland, and they are ahead of schedule, is my understanding, and they have just transformed that area. The concrete's being poured daily for sidewalks. The bathrooms are up. Romtech constructed those, as well as 3 picnic shelters. So things are just moving at a very rapid pace.
Now, is that in the area that people normally come into? Because there's 2 ways to get in there, essentially. Which section is getting most of the work?
This is the Church Road entrance that is the main entrance to the park. And that's where all of these developments are occurring. And then the second half of the path connects to this area as well. And that'll be done in the fall.
So the pavement, when that gets done, that really changes things.
Oh, absolutely. No longer having to backtrack. You'll be able to do the full 2-mile circuit from the parking lot and have that good sense of accomplishment. We hope to see you out there.
No, I will be happy to be out there on day one. So that'll be in the fall sometime. You figure October maybe by the time it's done?
October, early November is what the contract calls for, and I think we'll achieve that.
And I know that you've been doing some other things a little further removed from that close area, planting some things and some walking trails. And
yeah, we put in almost 2 miles of trails on the hillside, 2 different loops that can give you a good workout to get you up to the top. They have signs. We had to remove some of the signs because of the construction, but once you get on them, you can find your way around, and it takes you up into the oak savanna, the birds. It's an amazing view. It's a great hike.
So yeah, for people seeking an off trail, off pavement experience, that offers a wonderful hiking opportunity.
And some people like the off-road hiking experience. Some people like to be on pavement, but some people like to do both, which is going to be perfect for this.
Absolutely. And we are paralleling the path are our volunteer mowers maintain a grass around the pond too, a grass trail around the pond. So we have a perfect situation.
So by fall, this is going to look very different.
Oh, absolutely. Off of Church Road, we're going to have a playground area, come out, spend the day, fully accessible, lots of things to do. We're also adding RV and bus parking with a turnaround, and U-Trans will have a bus stop there. So lots of access to the park, lots of things to do, all ages, all abilities.
Now, this has been, at least for Douglas County, kind of a unique situation. a lot of times these projects begin, land becomes available, a city or a county will, or some other, you know, district will go out, find some funding and move forward. But this one being kind of a public-private partnership, talk about that piece.
It's a great example of that. We had the time and the capacity and the interest to help the city on this, and they were a great partner, and we did the grant writing for them on behalf of them, and did the presentations before Oregon State Parks. And right now we're bringing together five different state park grants, which are funded through those programs, lottery money, some federal money, to bring it all home. So it's been a great partnership. We are providing that expertise and those man hours that the city doesn't have the staff time for. So,
as I've checked on some other park projects, as I've traveled other parts of the state, I've seen that in some other places as well. I've gotten a chance to ask people, now how did this happen? And you hear that oftentimes these bigger projects really take both, because whatever agency it is doesn't have the staff time to delve in as much as someone who wants to do it on a volunteer basis.
Right, and the city is not able to do the fundraising with the private foundations that a 501c3 nonprofit can do. So we're bringing in money from different sources, private donations, individuals, businesses. You know, we're out fundraising. We don't expect city staff to go out and fundraise. So that's where we bring the money into the project.
And I know from my reading and some knowledge I have about how the state park grant programs work, this type of project that you have here is really something that they really jump into fairly easily.
In the first year, we weren't successful. You really have to have patience and persistence and stay on your message, and eventually you'll get some traction on it. But they really like this project. Obviously, if they've got five of them awarded right now. Tremendous community support. That has been the key to the success of this project. Starting with the master plan and really listening to what the community wanted and what they told us, because that's the key to getting them vested. They feel valued, their opinion. They'll use it and they'll support it. And if you follow that model, you will be successful.
I imagine somewhere you've got a before picture.
Oh, I have lots of before pictures, sure. And I can tell you, I have stood at the Church Road area, and it looks so different from when we first started. Levels have changed, and things have gone in completely different than when we started. And yeah, I should put together some before and after photos.
Well, I think really, especially when you get through this, into the fall here and get a lot of this done, you could really kind of put together, or somebody could produce a pretty cool show there just to explain what you've accomplished.
I'll do that in my free time since we'll be done.
And now, is it done, or are there other things up the road that are things you'd like to get to?
So our major work is done as far as the master plan, which was a 20-year plan, and we've accomplished great things in 6 years. Most of those projects are done. We now need to do some fine-tuning, some things that needed to get cut and cut back that we're going to work on, such as landscaping. We're still going to finish our Oak Savannah restoration project with the Sutherland High School FFA students. And then, you know, we want to do the fun stuff. So part of our mission is to provide education on the natural resource and health and start to use this park in a fun way. So we're transitioning from this heavy, heavy grant writing to more enjoyable activities.
Now, did you guys have any kind of background related to things like this when you were still working all the time?
Not in grant writing. This was something totally new for us. But we do have a background in the Park Service, National Park Service, and been to a lot of parks and took our kids to a lot of playgrounds. So, you know, just gaining that information that way, and being government employees, you know, understanding how government works slowly sometimes, and having that patience.
You mentioned not getting, you know, the grant the first time around, and I've seen that with other things in the Umpqua Valley where folks go out there, they think they've got something, but something else beats it out. But yet people that are persistent usually get what they want, or most of it, eventually.
That was our experience, getting yourself exposed to the different grant committees. Those, each one has its own unique makeup, and them getting to know you and becoming aware of the project. And they also, these grant committee members, they travel up and down the I-5 corridor. They're pulling in and looking at potential projects or projects that are being constructed and that have been around for a few years, liking to see how the public's using them. So just stay true to your values and your convictions, and you'll get there in the end.
All right, we're going to take a break, talk more about it in a moment on Inside Douglas County. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming up at 1 on Inside Douglas County, talking about Ford's Pond. Jim and Beth Hausman from the Friends of the Ford's Pond group. And talk about the specifics of how that group is set up and some of the things that you do. Because you guys obviously are doing a lion's share of this, but you've got other folks involved too.
We do. We have a board. Currently, there's a total of 6 of us on the board. And we're a roll-up-your-sleeves type group. Everybody takes on a project. Everybody works to get something done. One of our board members, Crystal Cunningham, recently completed a series of videos working with a grant from the Ford Family Foundation and Big Wrench Media. She produced a video. She was working on one video to tell the story of the park, but she ended up with such great interviews from our volunteers and from people that use the park that there's now 4 total videos on our website, and they're fantastic about how the park has changed lives, how the volunteers enjoy working out there, just some real hard work, and we're very happy with them.
Now, you mentioned pulling in young people to help with projects, things like that. For people that see all this, maybe they live out there, they go by there, are there other opportunities maybe for folks to help out in a more limited way?
Yes, and you know, COVID took its toll on us, and we were not able to get out and meet and greet people and sign up new volunteers and have that connection, and now we're ready to jump back in and do that. But there's lots of opportunities for people to help out at the park. It's hands-on. It's helping the nonprofit. We are looking for a volunteer coordinator, someone to help us organize and get the records, make sure we're keeping up on timesheets on everybody's hours, because that time goes towards grant applications and goes towards our recording of how much we're helping out the city. So just lots of opportunities to help out, and as we start branching out and doing events and activities at the park to have more people on board.
And it's kind of that sweat equity piece, right? I mean, because that's what they're kind of looking at.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that Oak Savannah project has been very rewarding, getting the younger high school students involved and connected to their own neighborhood, their own community. And we have another group we have another 250 trees that we'll be planting in December with a brand new set of students to continue the project.
So what about the financial piece? Is there help that's still needed there?
Yes. One of the things that we had to let go of on the current project is the landscaping at the few areas that we have on the park, on the pond path. There's going to be some benches along the way, and we want to have some shade trees. And obviously, it was more important to finish the path around the pond than to not finish it and have shade trees. So we're looking at how we can fundraise for some shade trees. Then the Friends will then be planting those trees and native plants to make these a nice little rest break along the way.
Now, are there's going to be a, is there a particular type of tree that you've got in mind?
We've worked with the landscape architect, and we're looking at the native trees, so the Oregon white oak, the Oregon ash, incense cedar, and big leaf maple are the four trees that are that we'll be using. And it has to do with adaptability in the landscape, drought tolerant, as well as water tolerant. So depending on the area that they're planted, those are the species that we'll be using. And they're about $400 a piece because we want to get as much instant transformation for the shade, which translates to a large tree. And it's a big root wad, and then all the soil amendments and everything else to get it planted. So that's the goal.
So you want to buy them initially at a pretty aggressive size,
right?
So that you're not staring at this for the next 20 years.
Exactly. Because right now, this time of year, you realize how important shade is out there. Mm-hmm. You're really exposed.
And I know that in talking to other people over the years, with some projects, it's really important to look at what, you know, what's right for that environment. There have been other projects put in, and even, you know, random homeowners see a type of tree they like, they just think it looks cool, they put it up, and it doesn't stick around because it's not for the type of soil, or they've got it, you know, not allowing enough root structure or things like that.
And moisture is really the key. You've got those species I mentioned are adapted to this Douglas County hot, dry summer and wet winter. And they do really well. Some species that you might pick up at a nursery that can't do real well. They might be all right for a couple of years, and then they'll fail.
And when you get the now, how many trees do you plan to put around the path?
What are we thinking, about 40 or so?
I think there's eight stops total with benches stops. That people have donated benches through the city. And they'll be mounted on concrete bases with this landscaping around of native shrubs and these trees.
Yeah. So kind of places for people to stop and reflect or whatever, and just or look at the current view.
They're situated in scenic spots around the pond loop path, so at different view sheds, yeah.
Is there ever been a point in all this in the last several years where you looked around and went, why didn't we just go on vacation that year?
Yeah, sure. It's been a labor of love, absolutely. I would do it again. Jim says yes, he would
no
too.
Regrets.
Yeah, it turned out to be more than we thought it was going to be. I think any project is like that, but it's very rewarding. It's very rewarding, yeah.
Well, and I imagine living where you can look out and see it every day has got to be a heck of a reward.
It's seeing people use it. It's there's this magic hour. The sun has gotten low enough in the sky, and the families come out after dinner, and the kids are on their bikes, and babies in strollers, and people walking, and everybody's loving it and enjoying family time, and that's what we enjoy, is seeing people use it.
Those hoverboards have made an appearance. There's just a couple of people that come out right at that magic hour when the sun sets behind Tyee Mountain, and they just hit that path, and they go all the way around.
Wow. Sounds pretty cool. Now, as we wrap up, if people want to ask questions, find out more, get involved, help you out financially, talk about your website and how to get connected.
Yeah, our website is fordspond.org, and we also have a Facebook page. We accept donations on both of those. If you want to reach out to us, you can reach out through our website. There's a contact form. Our P.O. box is Box 99 in Sutherland, and certainly you can make out a check to Friends of Fords Pond. Help us out. This park project would not have been possible without all the local folks who have donated, and even people who have driven through, stopped, and then suddenly we get a check from Arizona or somewhere where they said, thanks for the break. Certainly help us out that way.
We'll have a booth at the Blackberry Festival next month. You can stop by there. as Perfect. Well.
Mm-hmm. All right, out of time for now. Jim and Beth Hausman, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.